Luke chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 26, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the scripture. I know some of you thinking, preach, this is not Christmas. Well, it fits. Amen. The Word of God's right on time anytime. Amen. All right, verse number 26, Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. We heard a lot of preaching on that here before, I know. Preached a series on that. Turning your exposure into experience. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary rose in those days and went of the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Of course, and it goes on talking about how that she went into the house of Elizabeth. And then the story picks up with Elizabeth and John the Baptist's birth. And then chapter 2 picks up with the actual birth of our Savior. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, we ask you to help us tonight to hear from you, hear from your word. Lord, if we only hear what I say, it's going to be in vain. But Lord, if we could somehow allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, that Lord, to speak to the inner man. God, I pray that you would work a work in our night, this night, in this service. Lord, that God would defeat the flesh and God would bring praise to your name. And defeat the powers of hell. God, I ask you, Lord, to just take control of this thy servant. Help me, Lord, tonight to be sensitive, Lord, to you and what you're wanting to say, what you're wanting to do. Lord, what you're wanting to emphasize in this service. We pray, Lord, that you'll just get our attention tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me as well as to me tonight. And we'll thank you. We'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The verse that is going to give us a springboard for our thought for the service tonight, something that the Lord's been dealing with my heart about, and I want to read it, verse number 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I feel impressed of the Lord, if you'll allow me for a little bit tonight, to preach to your faith. I want to target your faith. I want to target my faith. Because it is our faith that it gives us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a song, I'd ask Brother Craig about it. There's a little chorus in the back of the hymnal. I told him we may sing it before I preach, but evidently that's not happening. I didn't even think about it, Brother, to be honest about it. But it's the chorus. You know what page that is on, brother? Well, that ought to be easy to find. 410. And it's the little song that talks about, got any rivers? If I can remember how it goes, Brother Craig, you wanna help me with it? You want me to get it started? You want me to just do it? All right. Does it start out with, got any rivers? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes, listen, to things thought impossible. For he can do what no other power can do. Hope you listen to that. You ought to learn that. It's just a little chorus. And you ought to sing it along in your life to encourage your faith when you're facing impossibilities. When you think something's impossible, he can do what no other power can do. Because I've been thinking about the word impossible. That's a strong word, impossible. And I, leading up to that, I thought of these thoughts throughout the day this morning. I was really in question of if I was supposed to preach tonight or someone else in the church, but I couldn't get away from it. So here I am, amen. And we're going to deal with impossibilities. Just how do you deal with impossibilities? And according to this passage right here, there'll be times that you will be faced with impossibilities. Right. Mary, according to what's written about her and recorded about her, being favored of God and pure and holy, not sinless, not immaculate, but a sanctified woman, faced an impossibility. God's word came to her about something that was earthly and humanly impossible. Now I want you to get that challenged in your heart. And I want to lead up to that by first just pointing out some different levels, different categories that you and I will have to deal with. And this first one we won't, but we probably will have very little of. And I call this one the easy category. That's the one the flesh wants. That's the one the world would offer, is the easy route. And the word easy just simply means not hard. Can I get a witness right there? Isn't that the spiritual life most people want? That's the direction they want. That's the level they want. Not hard, preacher. Yeah, we want all that God has for us as long as it's not demanding and as long as it's not difficult. So the word easy means not hard or difficult or requiring no great effort. Boy, if that don't describe most people in church. They've got a spirituality that requires no great effort. Free, the word easy means to be free from discomfort. The path of least resistance is generally the preferred path. That's the one I choose. If it's level or a mountain, I'm choosing the level. That's right. Amen. But the path of least resistance is generally the preferred path, but normally is not the spiritual path. Amen. And I know we could take the time and deal in this introduction and deal leading up to our thought. We could take the time and talk about how that we're headed into some difficult waters in our country, in our churches. And we're going to see things, I'm afraid, we're going to see things that we never thought we'd ever see. We're going to see people do what we never thought they would do. In fact, you might even be shocked at what you might end up making a choice to do. But always remember, your spirituality is your survival. Amen. It doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter what you're being attacked with, what you're being tempted with. It doesn't matter. If you keep your spiritual life up, you can always, win in the standoff. Amen. But if you let your spiritual life get weak, you let your spiritual life drift and decline, the flesh is going to rise up and be strong, and it's going to overcome. It's going to overcome you. The easy is the category that the world offers. and it's what the flesh would want. I wrote this down, easy appeals to the flesh, but has no meaning whatsoever to the Spirit of God. I want you to give that. Lord, give that to me today, except I may say it a little different on down. The word easy and the word hard means nothing to the Spirit of God. I want you to get that. Man, that's good right there. You might have to meditate on that. You might have to write that down and meditate on that. But the Holy Spirit never evaluates your circumstance to see whether He can do or not do. Whether it's easy or whether it's hard or difficult or, as in our text, impossible, that doesn't mean anything to the Spirit of God, because He is superior to any of that and all of that. Again, I say easy means nothing to the Spirit of God, so why should it mean a whole lot to us? But it does. Shame on us. Amen. If it's easy, Brother Mark Green said this in Sunday school a few years ago. He said, if it's easy, God's probably not in it. Someone else said this here in the church. I think it may have been a Sunday school teacher of years gone by said this: there are no shortcuts to spirituality. I'm talking about the word easy. There are no shortcuts to spirituality. We want to cut corners, you know, we want to run the race, and we want to cut corners and cut the mountains out and cut the curves out and cut the valleys out and cut the difficulties out. But those are really what's going to develop us, isn't it? That's really what's going to help us and go to be strong. The will of God, I wrote this down, the will of God is rarely, you've heard me make this statement, it is rarely convenient and it's rarely comfortable. The will of God. Amen. So, and I wrote this down, in this easy category, you find things such as prayerlessness. In the easy category, you find things such as unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to prayer, unfaithfulness to the Bible, unfaithfulness to church, unfaithful in giving, and the list goes on. That's what's found in the easy category. You'll find carnality in the easy category, because that's where the flesh flourishes, is in the easy category. There's little to no burden for sinners in the easy category. How many of us know that you got to get out of your comfort zone to confront somebody or to give them a tract or to invite them to church or to talk to them about the Lord? Amen. And so in the easy category is where most of us spend most of our time, I'm afraid. Secondly, I note that not only is there an easy category there may be a few things come along in the spiritual life that might be a little easy, but I've never seen much of it. And I don't expect to see much of it, to be honest about it. But my second category I want to emphasize is the hard category. The hard category. The word hard means difficult to do, difficult to deal with, something harsh or severe. Now, the Christian life may not have much of the easy, though we want it, but it may have some of the hard category. It may have some of the difficult to do request, difficult to do commandments, difficult to do, difficult to deal with. Something hard requires a lot to deal with it. And I'm afraid we're headed into some hard times, you know, individually, as a church, families, you know, as a nation. I'm afraid we're headed in, already in some difficult time, but I'm afraid we're headed for some hard times, things difficult to deal with, okay? Easy, now this is where I had that saying, easy and hard means nothing to the Spirit of God, because He is not controlled by our circumstances around us, but rather He's controlled by the condition within us. That's right. Doesn't matter what's going on around me, as long as I'm not grieving Him or quenching Him. So there's the easy category, there's the hard category, and then I want to move thirdly and talk about the too hard category. The too hard category. You say, is that in the Bible? Yes. Jeremiah 32:17 and Genesis 18:11, both of those verses ask this question: is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And then in Jeremiah 32:17, it answers that question and says, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. So we've talked about the easy category. We've talked about the hard category, difficult to deal with. We've talked about now pointing out the too hard category. Well, a lot of us look at things and say it's too hard, but when really it's not hard at all. Too hard simply would suggest that which is excelling in its difficulty over all of your resources. All of your resources, all of your ability, and all of your experience. When something is too hard for me, that means it's bigger than me. When something is too hard for me, that means that I don't have what it takes. I personally, humanly, don't have what it takes to deal with it. And most of my defeat and most of your defeat in the past and will yet in the future come when we start dealing with the hard and the difficult, amen, in the energy of the flesh. That's where we falter and that's where we fail. But when the Bible deals with the category of too hard, it's that very term identifies that it's bigger than you, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than your experience, it's bigger than your resources. But the point here is, it may be too hard for me. It excels in difficulty higher than anything I can do to match it or to overcome it, but it's not too hard for the Lord. It may be too hard for us, but it's not too hard for the Lord. I hope you're letting me preach to your faith tonight. Because I'm telling you, if we don't have what it takes to tap into the divine resources of heaven, amen, the hard, the difficult, hey, do you realize how many people have, and I wrote this down, just hang on that thought, and I'm going to give you this, and then we'll finish that, hopefully. So we talked about the easy category, we've talked about the hard category, we've talked about the too hard category, but where I want to get tonight is the impossible category. You say, preacher, those stairs stepped up. Those were levels, easy, hard, too hard, and then impossible. You don't go above impossible. That's as far as you can take it. That's as bad as it can get when it's impossible. But God is letting us know, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Many things in life will fall into the hard category. But this category has slain its 10,000s. But then there's some of the life's issues that's going to fall into the too hard category, and that one has slain its thousands. And then there is that which falls into the impossible category, and that has slain hundreds of thousands. The impossible. The impossible. How many people, they weren't dealing with the too hard. They weren't dealing with the impossible. They were just dealing with the hard, the difficult to deal with at level. They were just dealing with that. And it wore them down. It wore them out. And they ended up giving in, giving up, and giving out. And they were defeated not by the impossible. They were not defeated by the too hard. They were defeated by that one level that's above easy. They were defeated, and I've been defeated, and you've been defeated before just off of the hard category, dealing with difficulties. Oh, yes. But the word impossible goes beyond the word hard, and it goes beyond the words too hard. It's a class all by itself, and you can't get any worse than impossible. Amen. If something is hard or too hard, it's bad enough. But if it's impossible, that's as bad as it can get. And amen. I mean, you think about that. The word impossible. Impossible completely excludes man. It says just in the term impossible, man cannot do it. Do you face things, you deal with things that you realize man can't do it? And when I'm talking about man, I'm talking about mankind, I'm talking about humanity, individuals or crowds. But with God, all things are possible. Let me read you some verses about the word impossible. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Listen, and nothing shall be impossible to you, unto you. Now we've showed you now the word, the category of impossible can't get any worse. It excludes man. Man can't do it. Man don't have the resources. Man doesn't have the power. Man doesn't have the strength. But in that verse, along with some of these other verses I'm going to read to you, reaches and grabs faith. If you have faith as the grain of mustard seed. I mean, moving a mountain, wouldn't you think that would be impossible? Absolutely. Here it says nothing shall be impossible. Matthew 19, verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. Note that statement. With men. With men it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. Now I want to tell you what kind of faith most of us in here have. We have the faith that believes God in the easy category. We have faith that maybe believes God in the hard category. And there even is a possibility, Brother Fultz, that we might even have a faith that believes God in the too hard category. But I wonder how many of us have a faith that latches a hold of God in the impossible. Believe in God for the impossible. Mark 10, verse 27, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Luke 18, verse 27, and he said, the things which are possible with men or impossible with men are possible with God. Of course, then our text, Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse 17, I want to read about four verses right here. Verse 17, starting with verse 17 of Hebrews 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise, the immutability. How many knows what that word means? It means unchanging. The unchangeableness of God. He is unchanging. I am God and I change not, he says. But it says, to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. Confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which, here's the first one, it is impossible for God to lie. What about that? Impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Verse 19. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All of that coming out of that one statement that it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. Facing impossibilities. Dealing with impossibilities. But Brother Webb, we find in the scriptures that just because something is impossible Just because something is impossible, Brother Scott, does not mean we have to turn and walk away and say, well, that's out of the question. It is out of the question for us, but it is not out of the question for God. For all things are possible with God. Amen. Possibilities are in the natural realm, but impossibilities are in the supernatural realm. Possibilities is what man can do. Impossibilities is what God can and must do. But in our text here in Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to share a few things here with you through these verses that the Lord just spoke to my heart about today, about the service tonight, about dealing with this subject of impossibilities. And there's no doubt about it. They're coming. They're coming. And I've saw things in my life. I've saw things in the ministry. I've saw things here where I thought I would never see that happen. I thought I'd never see that happen. I've seen people do what I thought never would I ever, ever, ever think they would ever do. Are you listening? And shocked, blown away, disappointed, hurt, surprised. But I want to tell you what. I don't want to let nobody be so close into my heart that it throws me spiritually for a loop when they don't do what they're supposed to do. Amen right there. I mean that. That's right. Because listen, the Bible prophesies, 2 Thessalonians 2, the great falling away that's going to happen. And you'll be shocked. We'll all be shocked. Who's going to get caught up in that? And that's not all heathens. That's not all lost people. There'll be some saved people caught up in that great falling away. People that maybe not real strong spiritually. People that really maybe is easily influenced by friends, feelings, this world. They'll get caught up in it. Oh yeah. But anyway, here's what I want you to see. In verse 26 of our text, verse 26 through 29, I'm not going to reread those, but I see here God making the impossible possible must be the will of God. What Mary talked about and what really is proven, you know, biologically to be an impossibility for a virgin to conceive and bear a son, that is a biological impossibility, right? But for that impossibility to become possible, number one, it's got to be the will of God. You just can't run rampant out through the world and claim that on everything. But when we know, listen, how do you know what the will of God is? If it's the Word of God, it is the will of God. Amen. And amen. I'm talking about if you have scripture that clearly deals with your impossibility that you're facing, I want to tell you that lets us know in our text that God's power to overcome an impossibility is released into that situation. But it's got to be the will of God. And we know it's the will of God when it's the Word of God. And that's shown here, verse 26 through 29, as the angel Gabriel came from the Lord as a messenger from God and declared to Mary this truth. So it's got to be the will of God. It's got to be the Word of God. You don't have nothing to stand on when you're facing an impossibility and it's not the Bible. Amen. Amen. You don't have a thing. You don't have nothing to stand on. But when you can take and pull out this good old King James Bible and get something to stand on, get a verse of scripture with that, amen, that deals with your situation and stand on it. It may look bleak, it may look dark, and the hounds of hell may be howling all around you and saying it's an impossibility, but you can say if it's the Word of God, it's the will of God, and if it's the will of God, there's no such thing with God as an impossibility, and God's able to do it. If He can overstep biological impossibility, if He can overstep physical impossibility, if He can overstep all of that, and my friend allow the sweet Holy Ghost of God to conceive into a virgin womb of the very Son of God, I want to tell you, if He can do that, and He did do that, He can help you tonight. So the first thing in dealing with impossibilities is make sure of what the Bible says about the matter. And listen, when we're talking about it being the Word of God, we're not talking about just finding it in ink and words on paper. We're talking about you embracing it. When Mary heard that word, can you imagine now? Can you imagine? And she was just a teenager from what I can gather. Brother Scott, when she heard that word, I mean, listen, even though it was coming from an angel, listen to what it was saying. You're going to conceive. And she even asked later, how could this be? How can this be? I don't know. I've never known a man in that fashion. I've never known a man. How can this be? But she, even though she couldn't explain it, and she couldn't go to history books and pull up some events that would support her faith, because it was a word from God, she knew it was the will of God. And even though it was an impossibility on planet Earth that has never been done before and has never been done since, she believed God. Her faith wrapped around the Word of God that was addressing that impossibility, and her faith is what released God to accomplish that. God would, let me ask you this, you think God would have went ahead and done that had she said, oh, I don't believe that? Do you think God would have overstepped her unbelief and performed that, Brother Fultz, performed this impossible, performed this supernatural, performed this miracle if she said, I don't believe that? No. It was the Word of God, it was the will of God, and she wrapped her faith around it. Secondly, let me just mention this. These are just simple things, but it spoke to my heart, and I hope it speaks to yours. And there's a lot that we could say about that being the Word of God and the will of God and all that. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have to just get a verse. You're going to have to get a passage. You're going to have to get a truth and wrap your faith around it in spite of what you see. You're going to have to wrap your faith around it in spite of what you hear. Hey, man, that's right. You're going to have to wrap your faith around it. Amen, regardless of the criticism and regardless of the devil whispering in your ear, it can't happen, it's not going to happen, it's over. No, no, if it's in the Bible and it's God's Word, stand on it, amen. Stand on it. And number two, not only God making the impossible possible comes when it's the will of God, but number two, Mary, these are just simple truths, simple little practical truths. Mary, ladies and gentlemen, Mary experienced the impossible becoming possible and becoming real and becoming practical in her life because she was conditioned by divine influence in her heart. She received divine influence in her heart from the Lord. You say, where do you get that? Right there in, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art, watch this, highly favored. Highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 30. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I was curious about that word favor. I looked it up. And that word favor means to have a divine influence upon the heart, having reflection in the life. What about that? You get that? Mary had a divine faith, a divine influence in her heart that had reflection in her life. God overstepped impossibility, making it possible and practical because he found someone that was receiving divine influence in the heart that showed reflection in the life. You know what that meant, Brother Scott? She is living for the Lord. She was living for God. Amen. She was pure before God ever sent Gabriel to talk to her. She was holy and sanctified before Gabriel ever spoke a word. Amen. And keep in mind, young people, she was just a young person. Amen. She was receiving divine influence in her heart that had reflection in the life. That's who God uses to overcome impossibilities. Amen. Sinners can't claim that. Carnal people can't claim that. Worldly people can't claim that. Amen. Cold-hearted, backslid believers can't claim that. Amen. God doesn't have anything to work with. But if God can find that lady, that man, that boy, that girl, that it will receive in their heart His divine influence and let it have reflection in your life, and it will have reflection in your life. It will show up in your life. Then God can use you. God can speak into you. God can work in you to overcome what man would say is impossible. Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. Verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? Me watching God overcome impossibilities in my life does not hinge on my understanding of it. If you're waiting to be able to understand what God's doing, in fact, you can't, listen, we can't even explain the impossible. She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And of course, God took in verse 35 and the next few verses, and He began to tell her this is how it's going to happen. And the first thing He made it real clear was that this is not going to be with any assistance of man. That's how you know when you're really facing an impossibility, is that when you realize nobody else can help me. When you realize that what God is planning for my life excludes help. On a horizontal level. Said the power of God, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So not only do we see those two things there, God making the impossible possible when it is the will of God, but also when a person is conditioned by divine influence in the heart. That has reflection in the life. She had given herself to godliness and virtue and purity. She stood out, the Bible said in verse 28 and 30, she was highly favored. She was blessed, she was highly favored. Look at it. Verse number 28. She was highly favored. And then the Bible said, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, notice this, among women, not above women, but among women. There was something about her that caused her to stand out. There was something special, specific about her spiritual life, probably her choices, probably her commitments. As a young person, we have every reason to believe that Mary had made some choices young in her life to be a holy girl, a holy woman. Amen. She wasn't a robot. She wasn't holy by sovereignty. Nobody's holy by sovereignty. God, that whole, you being holy God just doesn't do that. You do that. You make choices. Amen, in that direction. And amen, oh, that's right. But listen, she realized that the Holy Spirit can help me with this. The Holy Spirit can perform this. Amen. That's right. And so anyway, I just noticed that. And then I noticed this, verse 35. Down through verse number 37, God will use the testimony of others in whom and for whom God had already done some impossibilities. Look, I think that's very interesting. Verse 36, Gabriel's dealing with Mary. Mary's asking questions. Gabriel's answering the question. And then all of a sudden, Gabriel says, let me tell you about Elizabeth. Let me bring in cousin Elizabeth here for a moment. And look at verse 36, and behold, in other words, I want you to notice this, Mary. What I'm telling you seems to be impossible, and it is impossible with man, but not impossible with God. Mary, let me tell you what happened to Elizabeth. She had conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, listen, who was called barren. That was her testimony. She was known throughout the land that she was barren. And guess what? This comes into play. Gabriel brings Elizabeth in as one that is already dealt with, and that's an impossibility too, right? Conceiving in old age, that's an impossibility too, right? Well, here he said, this has happened to Elizabeth. Amen. This has happened to Elizabeth. Hey, I want to ask you something. Has God ever used somebody else to encourage you? When God is pointing out things in your life, when God is trying to help you in things in your life, and he shows you, well, look, I did this for her. I did this for them. I did this for him. Amen. God's used people to encourage me. But my question I want to ask myself tonight is, has God ever used me to encourage somebody else? Can somebody else facing a valley, a giant, a difficulty, a problem, can the Holy Spirit say, well, you know, your pastor, he's dealt with things like this. It didn't take him under, whatever. God help us. I want to also receive it, and I also want to be an example that God can use to talk to others and say, look, you don't have to quit. Just because you're facing an impossibility, just because you're facing something that never has been done before, in our text it had never been done before nor since, it doesn't matter. If it's the will of God, it's the Word, and it's the Word of God, amen, your faith believes God. Your faith doesn't have to explain God. Amen, it doesn't have to understand everything about it, but your faith says, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you on this. Amen. Hallelujah, that's right. And I purpose by the grace of God, and I say that on purpose, by the grace of God, Brother Carroll. Come what may, by the grace of God, I want to stay true. And we facing things in life, we have no idea what we're going to be facing in this country. And I'm not just talking about economically. There's no telling what spiritual and religious liberties are going to be taken away from us. I wonder how many of us in here is going to stand when we know there's going to be a criminal penalty to it. I wonder how many in church is going to embrace the truth when they know it's going to cost them. I don't think there's going to be too many. I don't believe there's going to be too many. Amen. I believe they're going to be that crack. And of course, a lot of your big upcoming assemblies, congregations, I don't want to call them churches. You know, they're built on entertainment and they cave in to everything and compromise, and they don't have no distinctions and no definite lines of boundaries and doctrinally or morally. And so it don't matter what laws are made. You know, when all of this same-sex marriage business came about, what was that? Was it the end of last year that all came about, was it? Or was it the beginning of this year? It was last year. Well, right off the bat, there was a big Baptist church in Greenville, South Carolina, made a big announcement. You know, we're for it. We'll accept it. We'll perform marriages. And there'll be tons of churches like that. So they're not going to have to worry about, bucking the system and getting fined or go to jail. All they'll do is just... that's not really that important. So, yeah, we'll allow that. We'll tolerate that. We won't say nothing about that. Bunch of stinking hirelings is what they are. That's exactly right. It makes me mad. But then you have a few, and I mean that's a right word to describe it. There is a few that are willing to stay true to God's Word and preach the Word of God, and there's a few in the congregations of those churches that's willing to stay put and stand as well. But I don't know what we're going to be faced with. And you don't know what you're going to be faced with. But I believe God's wanting to encourage our faith tonight and let us know that even if it's impossible, we don't need to quit. Even if it's impossible, don't turn God off. Don't count God out. Amen. That's right. God will use the testimony of others in whom and for whom He has already done some impossible things. And by the way, if you can't pull up the journal of your life and flip through and find some impossibilities that God has done, let me just remind you of one. If you're saved, this is one. Look in the mirror and say, it was impossible for me to get saved. Meaning man couldn't do it. Man couldn't have his hands on it. My salvation doesn't have any fingerprints of men on it. Though there is influences in our lives that God used. Amen. Preaching, teaching. Amen. Parental examples that God used. But when it come to salvation, it was absolutely impossible for anybody else to save you. It was impossible for you to save yourself. It was only possible for God to do that. So that right there would encourage you. And by the way, your salvation was your greatest need ever. You'll never have a need greater than your salvation need in time or eternity. And God met that need. And look what an expense He went through to pay for that. If God's willing to do that, to meet your, and listen to this, He's willing to meet your need of salvation when your flesh didn't even want to get saved. Amen. Your flesh didn't want to get saved. That's right. And your flesh has been mad ever since because you did get saved. Because the flesh got booted off the throne of your heart. Got to put out of the driver's seat. Shame on us, though. There's been times that we've let the flesh get back in the driver's seat. But we always run into the ditch most of the time. Say amen right there. And we have to go to the altar and say, oh, Lord, here I am. I thought I knew better than you, and I wanted to go off of what I could see and feel, and next thing I know, I'm going down a dead-end road, or I'm in the ditch. God said, I knew you'd do that when you put me in the back seat. I knew you'd do that when you put me in the trunk. I knew you wouldn't make it. Amen. That's right. I've been saved 35 years, a little over, and I want you to know I can't even walk without Him holding my hands. That's how strong I am. He's got to take care of me every breath, every step. Amen. That's right. Anyway, let me move on. Verse 38, for the possible to become possible requires submission and surrender. Verse 38, Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. And there's a lot in that statement right there. Her calling herself a handmaid showed her servitude, showed her submission, showed her humility, and so on. Here's what made the whole thing happen. And if she had never said this right here, it would have never happened. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. The whole time that Gabriel was talking to her, dealing with her, speaking to her, he was trying to get her to this point. Because look what happened. Soon as she said, be it unto me according to thy word, look what happened. And the angel departed from her. That was the whole goal. That was the whole end. And once Mary got to that place to where she engaged her will and said, yes, Lord, there wasn't no need then for preaching. There wasn't no need for angelic messages. It was activated. It was activated. You say, when did it happen? When did the Holy Spirit overshadow her and she conceived? When do you think it happened? I never thought about that until just now. When do you think it happened? I think it happened right there in verse 38, soon as she said, be it unto me according to thy word. I believe that's when it happened. Because Gabriel departed, he left. Mary arose and went in the hill country. Went and saw Elizabeth and Zacharias. Went over there and told her what had happened. Told Elizabeth what had happened. And John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth's womb had been in her for 6 months. He leaped, he shouted inside of her. He had a spell inside of her, and he was a Baptist. That's right. John the Baptist shouted more inside the womb before he was born than most Baptists do outside the womb the whole time they're alive. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yeah. And you know what? She got so tore up of telling all of that in verse number 45. And blessed is she, Elizabeth telling this, blessed is she that believed. There it is. When she said, be it under, be according to thy word, that was verbalizing her faith. She said, I believe it. I can't understand it. I don't explain it. I can't explain it, but I know this. It's Bible. It's the word of God. It's the will of God. I accept it. I believe it. And I'm shouting about it. Yeah. Look what it said in the next verse, verse 46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Yeah, she believed God in spite of the impossible, and it gave her a shout back. She rejoiced. Oh, yeah. Verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. In other words, she said in that verse, impossible is described as a great thing. When you're facing, listen, get this, it's simple, but it's good. When you're facing an impossibility, may your faith and my faith rise and say, God is just trying to do a great thing. God uses a great impossibility to do a great thing. And when it's done, it'll be clear. He did it. Amen. Amen. Verse number, so we saw that. Verse 49, the impossible, when you're facing that which is impossible, it allows you to experience the mighty God. For he that is mighty hath done great things. You know, that's not really what the flesh wants to hear, is it? I'm facing an impossibility. This is a good opportunity for me to experience the mighty God. Verse 51, the impossibilities allows God to show his strength with his arm. Verse 51, he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath showed strength with his arm. So when you're facing an impossibility, allow that to be an opportunity for God to show his strength. And by the way, look this up. That word show is a verb, and that's an action word. God says, when you have an impossibility, watch out. Watch me. I'm fixing to act. What is he going to do? He's going to show his strength. That word strength means he's going to show his might, his power, and I like this word in the definition, his dominion. He said, I want you to know that even in impossibility, I have dominion. Glory, that's good. Amen. That's great. Well, amen. You can see on down through here, there's all kind of applications and truths that you can deal with down through these verses when you're facing an impossibility. And sometimes I faced impossibilities I thought was impossibilities, but after it's over with, I didn't think it wasn't as big as I thought it was. I've said, oh Lord, how in the world are we going to make it? How am I going to survive this? Looking at it, it looked impossible. Turning around and looking back at it, I said, yeah, that was just you, Lord. You showed your arm. You showed your strength. You showed your power. But the part I believe really stuck out to me was that it's clear in the scripture that God never experiences anything that's too hard. God never experiences anything that is an impossibility. Amen. But he cannot overcome the impossibility until we believe him. Doubt and unbelief keeps the impossible impossible. Didn't it say in one of those verses I read, that section of verses, didn't it say there, all things are possible to him that believeth? But now that's hard to do when you're looking at an impossibility. I mean, when you're looking at something hard, you know, your faith may not be stretched that much. When you're looking at something that is too hard, yeah, your faith is going to be really stretched. But do we have a faith to embrace God when there's no explanation, when it seems that all hope is gone? Can we believe God for the impossible? Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.